Welcome back to Just Jenny.
Follow me on Instagram and Snapchat at Just Jenny Hutt.
Hey, Paige. So Paige Wolf, of course, is the author of Spit That Out, which is in its second. Well, I don't know how many printed, but this is its second edition, right?
Well, no, technically we're calling it the first edition because the original edition was self-published 5 years ago, and we're just not going to count that.
Okay, we're not going to count
read
that.
It. Nobody read it.
Fine.
Nobody read
it. We are not counting it, even though it happened. I understand this one's much better. It's new, improved. Yeah. It's new, and it's up to date. It's 2016 and where we are in and by the way, I appreciate that you wrote this book because this is for parents, really, of kids of any age. I think it's just for people to read because it is so confusing and none of us have a clue what we should not be actually really doing at this point in terms of the environmental stuff we allow in our houses. Can we use BPA-free bottles or even just for drinking? Forget about baby bottles. How do we know any of this?
Right.
So talk about this.
Yeah, and you're right in saying that it's not just for parents. It just happens to be that parents tend to be the demographic that are hardest hit with this environmental guilt and health worry because we're dealing with, you know, our young children on top of ourselves. But really, I mean, I wrote the book because I had read so many books about, you know, trying to be a green parent and a healthy parent and so many news stories about you know, stay away from this chemical and that chemical, and your shampoo could be toxic, and there's GMOs in your food, and, like, you know, what does this all mean, and how are you supposed to navigate this without having a nervous breakdown? And I found out that I was not the only one who was staying up at night Googling some ingredient, you know, to make sure that it wasn't going to give my kids cancer in 15 years or in 5 years. So I wanted to find a way to sort of break that down, you know, separate the facts from the fiction and help people get onto a more reasonable path toward green and healthy living without living in a bubble. Mm-hmm. So the people that I interviewed in the book, and I interviewed a bunch of celebrities, but then also a bunch of everyday parents and neighbors and friends and people all over the country, and everybody has got different ways of dealing with it. We all set our own parameters and we all have our own gray areas of what we will and won't do, what we'll buy and use in our homes versus, you know, kind of how we'll let ourselves function in the outside world. So it was really part of the book is sort of a commiseration and speaking with other people and other parents and figuring out how they're doing things, but also part solution. So I tried to speak to a lot of pediatricians and doctors and scientists and experts in different fields to answer questions like, you know, how bad is it if I do this or, you know, if I don't do this all the time? And I think that it, you know, it was certainly cathartic for me to write and hopefully it'll be helpful for people to read.
Yeah, well, I think it is helpful. And I think you, because you were such a researcher and were so, in the best way, compulsive, I think many new mothers have that sort of thing that you can't stop. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think that it's overwhelming to have. Your kids are how old at this point?
So my son turns 7 tomorrow and my daughter is 3.
Okay, so, really, that is so freaking adorable that, I mean, I have 17 and 16. So and you blink and you end up there. But when you have babies, you're right to take that sort of agita and do the research because you became an expert. You became an eco living expert and you became someone who was able to write this book because you did all that work.
Thank you. I mean, I actually started writing this book when my son was 4 months old. So when we talk about, you know, there was sort of a first edition, but well, really it took 7 years to get it to a point where it was really to put out into the world and having the experience of, you know, I think the easy part is when they're babies because they will eat what you feed them. And they will wear what you put on their bodies, you know, but now
they'll let you put the sunscreen on.
Yeah, they'll let you put the sunscreen on. But now they're at school, and school might be applying that sunscreen. And, you know, their friends are going to want to trade lunches. And they're going out in the real world, and you're not there holding their hands, nor should you be. So, like, trying to help them make better decisions, because you don't want them to be an outcast, right? Like, you don't I mean, I don't want my kid to be the only one who's not allowed to have cake at a birthday party.
Right.
So we let that go. But but we just try to make the things that we eat under our own roof a little bit better. But, you know, every like I said, every parent is different, and just trying to do the best, because we know
yes.
a lot more than we knew, you know, than I think our parents did. I mean, we were, I'm sure, you know, if you were like me, you were raised in a really different kind of era where our parents did not have these kinds of concerns at all.
Oh my God, not even kind of
yeah.
concerns. I mean, I don't even, my, wee saccharin is part of sort of my childhood,
right.
sweet and low. And yeah, it's a whole different, my feelings about all of it are very different from, but the problem I find, and I wonder how you sort of wrestle with this, is that we can do all these things that are to our children's benefit and our benefit, and still you can end up dead. I mean, still we will
oh, yeah.
be dead down the road, but I mean, some unfortunate earlier than hoped for death can happen. So like, how do you reconcile how much effort or discomfort you allow in trying to live a certain way?
That's actually a really great point, and I'm glad that you brought it up, because I actually very randomly had sort of a near-death experience about 3 months ago. I got, and I'm fine now, but what happened was I came down with this completely random freak virus, and I ended up getting sepsis. I went into septic shock, and it was really, you know, terrifying in those days where they weren't sure what was going to happen. But many, many, many doctors have told me that the reason that not only did I survive, but my recovery was pretty remarkable is because I went into it healthy and fit. I'm a person who is very careful and not obsessive, but careful and clean about what I eat. And I work out, I'm big into CrossFit, and I do that 4 or 5 yep. times a week. So I went into, it was like, you know, I compare it to like getting hit by a bus, because it was kind of like, that's how random it was, or being struck by lightning. But the reason that I probably survived it was because I didn't have a lot of underlying additional concerns. And then after I went through that experience, and then I was talking to another friend of mine who actually did literally get hit by a bus. And the doctors told her that the reason that she survived and recovered so well was because she was so healthy and her bones were so strong. So, you know, there is something to be said for that level of health and quality of lifestyle. Now, these things, of course, you know, illness and tragedy and catastrophe can strike anybody, you know, and yeah, I mean, my parents are big on saying, you know, like, eat what you want, because you could just, you know, walk down the street and get hit by a train. Yeah, well, sure, but don't you want to be, you know, don't you want the odds stacked in your favor if you can stack those
yes.
odds in your
yes.
favor?
And absolutely.
If you can stack those odds in your favor and your children's favor, and you don't have to give up quality of life. In fact, you have a better quality of life. It's not like I don't eat chocolate. I just have developed a taste for better chocolate.
Right.
And the artificial
right.
stuff doesn't even taste good to me anymore. It's weird.
Well, I think
like,
you're
sometimes
right. No, it's
I'll just
not
be like,
weird.
I'll be like, oh, it was, a few months ago, and I was like, oh, man, I just really want to go to Dairy Queen. And I went, and I got, like, a Blizzard, and it was gross. And, you know,
don't mess with Dairy Queen, because let me tell you something. Let me tell you why, because I've never been, and I've been tweeting about it, and I've never been, and I think they're like sending me a t-shirt, and I'm so excited because I need to have a Blizzard one day in my life. And by the way, I eat plant-based, so I don't even eat dairy, and like,
right.
but I'm not evangelical about any of it. So, and I'm
right.
also not like crazy. So if I end up having ice cream one day, I'm not
right.
like, oh my God, I just ruined my life. No, whatever.
Right.
I pretty much only eat plant-based, but if on a day I decide to have some dairy, it's no big deal. So that's really funny that you brought up Dairy
Queen. That's
but
so
I know
funny.
What you're talking about.
Yeah. That yeah. And I'm not, the Dairy Queen is not alone. I mean, just, you know, like anything, but like, yeah, like in recent years when I've been like, I'm just going to like have this, you know, candy or whatever. And I'm like,
of course.
Wow.
And it doesn't
this
taste
doesn't
good.
Tastes right. good. And my, I don't know how much time I have. Like, this is a really quick story.
You're fine.
Like, to
it's okay.
underline
yeah.
that my son has been, and again, let's talk about a brand, right? So, like, you know, this is just my opinion. So I don't let my kids have Gatorade, because to me, I just think it's a bunch of sugar and artificial stuff, and I just don't think there's a reason for them to have Gatorade. And there's this Gatorade vending machine at the kids' rec center, and my son's always like, you know, why can't I have Gatorade? And I, like, you know, and I didn't want to let him even try it, because I was scared he was going to like it. And my husband was like, you know, let's take a gamble. You know, I'm banking that he doesn't even like it. And we bought him a bottle, and he tried it, and he hated it. So,
it's salty.
I mean, you know, that
it
was risky.
Like
that
salt.
Was risky. Yeah.
It's not even good. Yeah.
But like, he kind of gets it. I mean, he wants, and he eats the junk and the stuff, but he gets it. Like he knows that if the ice cream truck comes by at the park and all the kids go running for it, he's not going to go running, because I'm like, dude, wouldn't you rather go get some, like, really good ice cream later at this, like,
right,
you know,
exactly.
great ice cream place around the corner than, like, a Good Humor bar? And he's like, totally. Yeah, so.
I like that you put, because one of the things you talk about in Spit That Out, and actually on spitthatoutthebook.com, you have a link to places you could buy healthy food without having to pay a membership fee. And I think that's important, because people feel like they can't buy things that are healthy, but that's not true.
Right. I talk a lot about making, you know, organic food and just healthy living and products more accessible and affordable, and they just are. I mean, I talked about how I go into my CVS on the corner where, I mean, you used to, you know, 5 years ago, you would go in there and you could get, like, cigarettes and potato chips. And now there's an aisle full of organic food. Like organic pantry staples, and I can find the organic sunscreen that I like there. I mean, it's just, it's shocking. And it's, you know, the prices are comparative. You can use your coupons and your savings. And that's the same thing at Target and Walmart and Aldi and some great online websites and stuff. I mean, stuff is more accessible and affordable than ever. There's great programs to make the fruits and vegetables more affordable. There's all kinds of tricks. And I always say that at the root of green living, you should be saving money, because you should be consuming less and buying less new things. So like in my family, we rarely buy new clothes. We are big into, like, my kids, I am big into hand-me-downs, secondhand. For myself, I go to a lot of secondhand shops and apps where I can get great deals on secondhand clothes. And we don't really spend so little money on things like clothes and shoes that we can take that leftover money and spend a little bit more on organic apples.
Which are important. Certain fruits and vegetables have to be organic.
Well, yeah, I mean, I hate to say always or never or have to, but I mean, for sure, there's a Dirty Dozen, you know, out there that people can download, the Dirty Dozen of what, you know, the fruits and vegetables that have the most pesticides. So, you know, if you can buy, your apples are usually top of that list. Like, that's something I try to always buy organic, right? But, like, let's say you're at a party and there's a tray of apples that are probably not organic, and then a bag of chips. I mean, eat the apples. You know, so it's you got to kind of wrap your head around sort of like the different levels of it. And I mean, hey, eat the chips too.
But eat the apple more often. Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Eat the apple.
Well, I think I love what you said. And again, I'm talking to Paige Wolf, and on Twitter, she's at Paige Wolf for Spit That Out, her book. I love what you said about not making your kid be like sort of the only kid who goes to the birthday party and has to say, no, 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 I'm not allowed to have cake, because it's not about ostracizing your kids in the real world and teaching them that they have to sort of go through the real world in a protective seal. It's that if they're eating and drinking and wearing and using all sorts of stuff that are non-toxic in the house, it almost creates a cloak of protection for when they're out in the world.
Right. Well, it's about minimizing, right? We certainly can't eliminate. So I feel like if I can minimize, because what it is, it's cumulative effects of all this stuff. You know, and
so we don't run out of time. Let me ask you a question. What are some of the most important things that people should do with the young children in their houses? What products should they be using or not using? And same with food.
Okay. So I definitely have like a top handful of things that you should try to avoid. I think like my biggest pet peeve is those plug-in air fresheners. that you get at the store, those plug-in air fresheners or, you know, artificial scented candles, they're loaded with a chemical that's an endocrine disruptor. But basically, it's just a bad chemical. And that fragrance, and I mean, to me, that those smells actually give me a headache. But those smells are not good. I mean, they're not natural. They're not helpful. And they're bad for kids developing lungs, and they can trigger asthma and migraines and all that. So ditch artificial plug-in air fresheners. I mean, with food, like, you know, don't give your kids a steady vending machine diet. I mean, there's nobody has to drink Mountain Dew, right? Nobody has to drink soda. Water costs almost nothing. So, you know, I mean, things like that, things that are easy and cost, they essentially cost nothing to make those kinds of changes. You'll spend less money on water than you will on soda or juice for that matter.
And in terms of water, what's the real deal about bottles, whether it's bottles of water or non-bottles of water?
Okay, so that's a great question. Okay, so in most cases, okay, apart from cases where you're in some super like rural town with a fracked well or like what went on in Flint, Michigan, which are extreme cases. But in most cases, you know, with a good municipal tap water system, like where I am in Philadelphia, the tap water is much more regulated than bottled water. Okay. Tap water is more regulated than bottled water, and tap water is almost always cleaner and better and fine. I do suggest filtering it because it is not perfect. I use an under the sink plug-in, like this filtration system that cost me $150, and that was it.
Like reverse osmosis or what?
It's similar. It's like, I don't think it's as hardcore, but it was like, it was called an Aquasana. It was $150. It plugged in. So it was just for a drinking water tap on my kitchen sink. And we used, so that was $150. Like that would have been like just like a few cases of bottled water. You know, you can also, even, you know, a Brita filter or Pure filter or Zero Water, one of those things can really help. I'm a big proponent of tap versus bottled. I think bottled is super wasteful, not better or cleaner. I mean, the only time I'll drink bottled water is like in a pinch or if I'm like in a country where the water might not agree with me.
or on an airplane.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm like, if you see me with a bottle of water, you know, you don't have to call the green police, but it's rare. I typically carry my own bottle.
I am calling the green police. I'm on it. Yeah. So, okay. So water is you do tap and then obviously you try to eat mostly all organic.
I mean, I would say I keep my house probably 85 to 90% organic in my home for sure. Yeah.
Yes.
But we go out, we just spent 10 days at the beach and we ate nothing but pizza and ice cream. I mean, we just really went to town. Yeah. I mean, we just
That's
had a ball.
Okay. That's okay. Then you come home and you go back to sort of normal living.
The book
is Spit That Out. You should follow Paige Wolf online at Paige Wolf. Check out spitthatoutthebook.com. It's her blog and has great ideas on it. Thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
You bet. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.